Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to I Think You're Dope with Eric Nam. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Poom Viputit, and he is a singer-songwriter based out of Bangkok, born in Bangkok but grew up in New Zealand. So, incredibly talented guy, very interesting story, and we just kind of talked about his life and his music and what he likes and what he doesn't. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the conversation. Please be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on. You can check out the video on youtube.com/divestudios, and please leave us a kind rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show. Love you guys. Here it is, I Think You're Dope with Poom Viputit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of I Think You're Dope. We have a very special guest this week. I'm personally a very big fan of this gentleman, and it just so happened that we got our schedules to work out, and he's in the studio with us. Please say hello to Poom Viputit.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, you didn't butcher the name.
I got it okay?
You said it pretty well. Yeah.
Yes! I was nervous. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure to be here.
We're excited to have you. This is our first time meeting. We've never met.
I've never met you before. not anywhere. Yeah.
I've never met him. I came across your music. My youngest brother actually was like, hey, you should check out this song. Uh-huh. And I think it was Loverboy. And then he sent me the thing you did on Colors as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is really cool. This is dope.
Thank you.
And so I've been listening for a while. And I've been like meaning to catch you in a show or like something. But I always like missed you by a day here or a day there. But I'm glad that we finally got to meet. Welcome to the show.
Hello, again.
Yeah, for people who don't know who you are, could you just briefly… I mean, singer, songwriter, touring artist, a bajillion things. But how do you like to introduce yourself?
I guess you just said it. I'm Poom. I write songs. I perform them. And yeah, this is my fourth time in Korea.
Yeah.
But like first time to have like a long sort of break. And yeah, that's me. If you haven't listened to my music, please check it out.
Yeah. You guys, it's really good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to get to know you a little bit better. But so you're born in Bangkok.
I was born in Bangkok, yeah.
Okay.
Everyone in my family is from Bangkok, basically. Mm-hmm. I lived there until I was 9 years old. And then I moved to New Zealand.
Yeah.
To the North Island at a city called Hamilton. Have you been to Hamilton?
I've never been to New Zealand.
Yeah, it's really far away from everything.
I heard it's beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived there for the next 9-ish years.
Okay.
Before moving back to Bangkok again to go to film school.
Okay.
And yeah, I just graduated last year.
Congrats.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Nice. Well… So let's go back to like you going to New Zealand. What was it? Your parents and like family were like going to New Zealand?
It was purely my mom. Mm-hmm. I lived with her and my brother, mm-hmm. and she got a job as a graphic designer there.
Cool.
So she was like, "Hey, why don't we move?" And as a kid, you know, you don't really have much say.
you're like, I guess mom's going.
Just like, yeah, she's going. My brother's going. So if I'm the only one here, I'm gonna be really like, who's gonna cook for me?
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, let's go. And yeah, it was a good time. It was really difficult at first
because
I didn't know how to speak English and all that. So it was a lot to adapt to. But I'm grateful for the time that I spent there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious. Like, what was it like adjusting to life in New Zealand? And what was like, you know, obviously there's a language issue of you didn't speak any English.
Yeah.
But what were some of like… I don't imagine there are a lot of Thai kids in New Zealand.
Not in the city that I lived in.
Right.
I was one of the few Asian kids when I went for year five within that school.
Right.
So that was already really kind of, you know, for me it was like, whoa, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
And also just the way of living. If you're from Bangkok, it's a really busy city, you know, that city lifestyle. And then moving to a city that's really sleepy, like a university town.
Right.
It's a big change. But yeah.
What were you like as a kid growing up?
Oh man, what was I like? I was really into sports.
What sports you play?
I played… I was a swimmer.
Oh, okay.
I played tennis and I played soccer. Yeah.
Okay.
Always those three. I was really shy actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I always knew I loved listening to music, but I never pursued it because it was like, no one wants to hear me. Like, so I was very…
You were wrong on that point.
It's a very timid kid. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What influenced you musically growing up?
I'm not too sure. My earliest memory is actually in New Zealand of really being into music. I think at that time, You know how there's MTV and all that?
Right.
In New Zealand, it was like this different channel called C4.
Okay.
And for the first 6 months that I moved there, we didn't live in like a proper house because we had to find places to rent.
Right.
And we stayed in someone else's basement for about 6 months. And the only channel that was basically available was this music channel. And I think at that time in the top 40s, it was like the most famous one was Crazy Frog. You guys know that song?
What's Crazy Frog?
Crazy Frog. Yeah.
I've never heard of this. Oh.
But they sampled it. Like that old song.
Okay.
And I really liked it. Uh-huh. It was like really popular, really, I guess, mainstream.
Okay.
And there was another song that was really famous called There by Gorillaz.
Oh, okay. Gorillaz, I know.
Yeah, yeah. And then that moment made me realize like I could separate. I wasn't musically trained or anything, but I thought like this is like what really mainstream sounds like. And this is like, I guess, the alternative path.
Right.
And that really made me get into like that other side of music.
Like alternative indie.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then did you always grow up like playing an instrument at all or like?
I never played an instrument until I think 13.
Okay.
Yeah, I played the drums first.
Okay. You played the drums and then you switched to the guitar.
I switched to the guitar a bit later. Yeah.
And then when did you write your first song?
I wrote my first song when I was 18 years old.
Is it out? On like it is Spotify?
It's on my last album. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really embarrassing.
I love asking about first songs. People are like, I don't talk about it.
But I still sing it every once in a while. Yeah.
See, that means it's a good song. For me, people are like, will you sing the first song? I was like, no. I will never sing that. I've forgotten the lyrics. I've buried it somewhere deep in a vault somewhere.
Yeah.
And I hope it never sees the light of day.
It can be like that sometimes.
Yeah. but that's cool. So you grew up in New Zealand for like half your life and then you moved back to Bangkok. Was that a decision that you wanted to make? Were you like, I want to go back and be in Thailand or what was that like?
I guess I originally wanted to stay in New Zealand and pursue film school. Mm-hmm. Go to one in Wellington called Victoria. And but I guess it was influenced by the movement in my family as well. Everyone had plans to move back.
Okay.
And my parents suggested that, hey, why don't you come try it out for a few years in Thailand? If you don't like it, go wherever you want.
Right.
So I listened like a good kid. and yeah, I have no regrets. I'm glad that I went back at the age of 18 to experience that sort of like youth. In a city like Bangkok. It's very diverse. Very full of color, I would say.
I mean, Bangkok, I've been like twice and I still don't have a grasp on the city. It just feels so big and like so busy that… Yeah. And then I feel like whenever I go… Unfortunately, I'm just stuck in a hotel.
Yeah.
So I haven't had like the full Bangkok experience. Going back as an adult and then your memories as a kid…
Yeah.
Were there any big like changes or things you saw completely differently or different perspectives on it?
I'm lucky that I get to go back every Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So I get to go back and keep in touch with family and friends. So I guess it's just the change of living because I came from a very busy lifestyle to a very chill.
Yeah.
So much free time to do like sports or whatever. Then back to a very, you know, full on. Have to leave the house like 2 hours early to beat the traffic. Right. To go somewhere like only a few kilometers away.
Right.
And just the pacing of everything is different. And people are into different things. If that makes sense. The cultural norms, what's popular in pop culture there and stuff is very different from New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah. Different worlds.
So going back to your music a little bit, you said you kind of got into the indie alternative side. And I guess that type of music really influenced what you do now and today.
Yeah.
When you started writing music and putting stuff out, was there a certain point where you're like, oh, this could be my full-time job and this is what I want to make and this is how I want to do it?
Yeah.
Was there like
a moment
or like a thinking you had underlying everything?
Honestly, I started writing my album since 2015. I released it in 2017. Uh-huh. But it wasn't until like late last year that I thought like, hey, this is actually like a full-time career now. Because before then, it's more like a hobby.
Right.
Like I never expected much from music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever have. Even now, I'm still very grateful for everything. But yeah, it's been a late realization that like, yep, this is my full-time job now.
What do your friends and family think of it?
My family's super supportive.
That's good.
I'm lucky. Everyone's from like the creative field of things.
Yeah,
no one's like, nah, don't do this. Go be a doctor or something. My friends are very supportive as well.
Yeah.
My friends in film school always offer to help. Hey, do you need someone to edit your video? I can color grade this for you. And stuff.
That's great. If you have any extra hands, send them my way. Yeah.
I will.
That takes a lot of time and a lot of skills.
It does. Yeah.
So that's cool. What is like, was there a particular moment? I guess like Loverboy, I imagine, is probably like the one song that kind of
really blew up online. Yeah.
Took it to another level.
Yeah, I would say so.
What was that like?
It was crazy because I wrote it as the first single of the EP that I just put out. And I didn't expect anything because it's always just been a hobby, like I said. And when we went to shoot the video, I just felt, this is cool. This is fun. All right, let's put it out. When we put it out, it just went off. So,
what was like the craziest reaction or like anything that was like, holy crap?
I guess when I started seeing people from overseas covering it. And those videos getting plenty of views, and then like one guitar tutorial like online how to play the stuff that I played on my guitar. Even myself, I don't know how to analyze like my own guitar playing. Like,
oh, you just kind of do whatever it feels
Do it. I just do it, and he's like, he plays this chord with this, embellishment, and I was like, whoa, I never knew I did that. Like, that's what it's called. So that was really crazy for me. I was like, okay, now I know how to tell other people how I did it.
So pretty much, Poom just told us that you're a musical genius, and he just happens that way.
Yeah. That was a very surreal moment for me because I used to do covers before I wrote my own music. So to see other people cover it in their own way, change the key, play it on a piano,
right,
instead of the guitar. It's really cool.
Who are some of like your favorite covers that you did of other songs?
My own?
I don't know, like that you sang of other songs that you covered.
I used to do a cover of Leanne LaHavas. Do you know her? She's a British. Neo soul jazz. And I did one of Daughter. Very moody, slow British band. And someone like Young the Giant. You've heard of Young the Giant?
I feel uncultured.
Particular taste. Yeah.
No, but that's what's cool because I think when I hear your music, I don't feel like there are a lot of people your age doing that type of sound right now.
Thank you.
And that's why it's so cool.
Thank you very much.
And that it's also relatable, even though we're in 2020 and it seems like such an alternative sound. And even like I was looking at, typically the lengths of songs these days are like maybe 2.5 to 3 minutes. Yours are easily over 5 minutes.
Yeah, some of them can go a bit long.
Right. But like that's, I think there's something about it that's very, as a musician, it's like you're going to do what you want, however you feel. And that is in itself is a statement. That I think is encouraging for other artists.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Your most recent single is called Hello Anxiety, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about where that came from?
And like, sure.
What inspired that?
I did my first international tours last year in 2018.
You're good.
Oops. and then I played Asia, the States, and Europe. And when I came back, I don't know. I just felt really off. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but I felt like my content didn't belong to me anymore.
Mm.
Like somehow like you I have so much output and you kind of feel like you're losing a bit of yourself and all of the craziness of fame or whatever you call it. And I felt pretty anxious the whole time. Uh-huh. Like I've never written music with any expectations before.
Mm.
And now I've just done my first international tour. And I came back and I felt like, man, a lot of people are going to be like, what's he going to put out next? And I felt a lot of pressure.
Right.
And all these exterior factors were coming in. And I felt a little bit lost. So I wrote Hello Anxiety out of that feeling.
Is there a particular line in that song that really, that thing really hits hard or like can perfectly summarize… I feel like anxiety is such a difficult thing to explain to people.
It is. And I'm not like medically diagnosed or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like my first time really genuinely dealing with it.
Right.
There's a line in the pre-chorus that goes, what if the world won't bend my way? What will it take to be happy?
Oh.
Yeah. That line is kind of like the ultimate question for me.
Uh-huh.
Am I really, looking to please everybody, the world? Right. Like, make it bend my way, or, you know, am I just happy just doing it? Because just the thrill of having to express myself and right. all that. Yeah.
No, I feel you on that. I mean, for me, I think it's… I remember when I first started out, I was terrified because I was like, if this works out, everything that I am and everything that is normal to me will be completely abnormal.
Yeah.
And it terrified me.
It is scary to go through that change.
Yeah.
And suddenly have a lot of eyes on you.
Yeah.
And you're just like…
yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely an anxiety-inducing moment. I personally had like one of my first like… I don't want to say like anxiety attack, but like a big moment of like, oh, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Like earlier this year. And that was like terrifying because I've never had that before. But it was just so many things happening at once where I was like, I need to get a control on what I'm doing.
Yeah. You're okay now?
I'm good. Okay, I'm good. Yeah, but it was, I don't know what it was. It was literally just one moment where I was like, what if I die? And then I was just had like a freak out.
Yeah, that happens.
But I think it's cool that you also spoke about it and you sing about it because a lot of, you know, especially in Korea, people aren't very expressive about their emotions or their mental health or status in that way.
Yeah.
What is it like in Thailand, do you think?
Not too many musicians touch on the subject, I feel. But it's, I feel like it's been talked a lot more in the, like the global scale.
Right.
And yeah, I felt like I just had to put it out because it's something I feel. I don't want to release like a lovey dovey song if I'm not in love.
Right.
Or like, you know, an upbeat song if I'm not happy.
Right.
I have to release something that's accurate and true to what I'm feeling.
Uh-huh.
Or else why do it? You know?
Right.
It's just, yeah. So it was the only thing I could do at the time.
Makes sense. Yeah. Going back to, I guess, Loverboy then. What inspired Loverboy?
Yeah.
Were you in love?
if you actually analyze the lyrics, it's actually from someone who feels very lost.
Okay.
My story is that I took a train ride to Chiang Mai. You know Chiang Mai?
Yep.
It's like a northern city. It's like a 12-hour train ride. I went there alone.
It was 12 hours?
Yeah.
I know it was that far.
It's not that far, but the train is really bad.
Okay.
It's really old train. So it takes that long.
Okay.
And I went and to stay there for a week by myself, which I've never traveled alone in Thailand before.
Yeah.
And I did that. And I guess I was kind of in a spot where I had just been out of a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, single.
In Chiang Mai.
Yeah, alone. And
by myself.
You just kind of explore and experience things and what I think about. Uh-huh. And the song is, yeah, what happens in your life.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're inspired by true events.
Yeah.
Loverboy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome. I love that your staff is like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Where's he going to go with this?
always very shy to talk about. You know?
It's the truth. But like that's the stuff that I feel like hits off. There are songs that when people hear it, it hits them in a certain way. It's
because
there's truth in those songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have some like, I guess, random questions for you.
Sure.
I mean, you said you were on like an Asia and World Tour or US Tour. Last year, what was kind of like your favorite venue and show that you did? I know these are hard questions.
Last year? Yeah. Last year, not this year.
Or like last year or this year, just like recently.
Oh man, there's so many. I really enjoyed playing Summer Sonic this year.
In Japan?
Yeah, they have the… If you've never been like… if you get to perform there, you get to visit the best artist catering area.
Wait. This is important.
It's really important. Yeah.
This is very important.
Yeah.
What's in the artist catering?
It's basically like this huge like hotel ballroom sort of area.
Uh-huh.
And like the food is amazing. Like you can get a ticket for steak, for sushi. And like beside that, there's like a massage and acupuncture tent.
What?
And it's free. So you're like anyone can like book and then go do it for free. And then beside that, there's like a little Nintendo Switch station and then like people… kind of like at their booths they have like interactive games.
Uh-huh.
Like I went to do this like shuriken darts sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
He was just there and then he just gave me a free one. He's like, here, like you're the first one to come to my booth, you can have a free one. I was like, oh, thank you. And then like that's not it. And there's like this whole separated press area with like Spotify, all these YouTube people. And then beside that is like this whole arcade area, like triple the size of this room. It's all arcade, like zombie games and all that. And I'm a huge arcade guy. So I was like, my God, this is all free. And I spent a lot of time there. So that's a really memorable time for me.
That's great. You know what? I was like, yeah, I did a show in like LA and the fans were awesome and I had a great show. He's like, no, I had great catering, massage, there were arcade games. So you're describing Disney World to an adult. Yeah. That's amazing. You got sushi with it too.
Exactly.
That's incredible. I want to play Summer Sonic just so I can go to this artist catering. So
people should really look forward to that.
If somebody's watching this, I'm open to going. I'll go. Very low guarantee. I just want access to this video game arcade. I'll be right there. What's your favorite video game?
My favorite video game? I think I'm a FIFA guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I play a lot.
What's your team?
Other than my ultimate team that I built myself, I'm a Man United guy.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
What are you?
You know what? I don't have like a diehard loyalty thing. Uh-huh. But right now, because we have Son Heung-min at Tottenham.
Tottenham.
I got to go with Tottenham.
Okay. Respectable. Yes.
I got to go for the boy. You know, he's awesome. Yeah. So you love Summer Sonic.
Yeah.
I now love Summer Sonic. outside of like Coachella, that's going to be my next thing to do.
Yeah, you should look forward to it. The catering is the best I've ever had. Yeah.
What about like a show-wise? Were there any moments where you're just like, holy crap, this is a credible show? Have you had any of those?
Quite a few over the last 2 years. Let's start from last year. I did a show in France in a town called Angers. It's spelled like Angers. I wrote it as that. Hey, I'm super happy. I'm super happy to be in Angers today. But it's like everyone's like, no, it's Angers.
You're like,
and I was like, oh.
Of course the French would do that.
Yeah. But back then the following was really small, like for my music. Right. And we had quite an incident in Europe where half the bandmates couldn't get in for half of the tour. So we were doing that part of France, which is myself and my good friend, the other lead guitarist. And we showed up at this place called the Joker's Pub. I remember very well. And it was like a small space like this. And then I'm pretty sure like everyone there didn't know who I was. But they were just there for the culture of seeing live music. And there were like a few fans, like two, I remember. But like it was so fun. Everyone was yelling like, boom, boom, boom. And people quite drunk. And I think I was a bit tipsy myself. And it was just a really good time. At the end, I invited some random dude to come sing with us on stage.
Oh, nice.
And he went full on. It was just a really, really memorable time. Nice. It reminded me, like, it doesn't really matter who you are. If you, like, play a good set, people will get into
time.
It. Yeah. And the other one recently, I think, was New York. We played there a few months ago. And that was a really good time.
Where'd you play?
We played… Music Hall of Williamsburg.
Okay.
In Brooklyn. Yep. And then, people turned up. Like a whole really diverse crowd and people were yelling, chanting the names and all that. It was a really good time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are you the type that can sing while you're a little tipsy or if you have a drink?
I think so.
I'm so jealous.
But like, I don't think my voice sounds like that great at live shows. I'm just more like… The energy, like…
You feel it.
I bring the energy and I'm like, God, doesn't matter how great I sound. Just like, make sure I bring the fun. You know?
Yeah. That's awesome. No, I'm sure you're great. If I drink before a show, I cannot sing. My voice is just gone. Because it just dries it out. I'm like, So, I would love to, but I can't even risk it.
You know, it's not a good habit to do. Like,
but I'm always so jealous of what I'm not able to have. When I see performers like, I'm like super wasted on stage. It's like, I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
It's rather irresponsible to do that. But you gotta have one of those every once in a while.
Right.
If you're on like a long-term tour. You can't just be like… it's the same set every night. You gotta spice things up a bit.
Yeah. I hope… Maybe I'll get there next year. I'm going on 37 cities.
Oh.
From January.
From all of the states?
I do Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And then I do US. And then Latin America, Canada.
Oh.
And then end of next year, I think Europe and Australia again.
Man.
So, some people might see me a little tipsy on stage.
Who knows, yeah.
So, where do you call home? Right now it's… Bangkok or like where do you consider home?
Right now I would say Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all my friends are mostly based there.
Yeah.
My family, people I work with. So
okay.
That'd be my home for the moment.
Do you wanna, is there anywhere you wanna live or you wanna end up at or?
I would love to go live in New Zealand again eventually. Oh, yeah? It's just very chill. But I guess for when you're younger and hungry for opportunities,
right.
And in this field of work, I guess Bangkok is a really good place to meet people, to go to gigs as well. But when I'm a bit older, I would love to have like a little farm or something.
I completely hear you on that. Yeah, if you need a laborer, I'll be there.
Okay.
Just like pulling cabbage or whatever, whatever they grow in New Zealand. Yeah. Did you ever go to like the Lord of the Rings thing?
I never did actually. There is very close to my town is a Hobbit houses, you know.
And you never went?
I never went because it's really pricey. Like they price it way up. Like, oh, okay. And you're like, I'm not gonna pay that much to go see.
Fair enough.
Some houses in the hill.
Fair enough.
You know, I'll just imagine it. You know,
a little cave with a door on it.
Yeah, like what? And everything inside is gone already.
Oh. That's a scam.
Yeah. Or maybe they've refurbished it, but it's like, it's not the original set, you know, with all, because Peter Jackson did it with like practical effects. You know, have you heard? Like it was how they made the Hobbit look small next to Gandalf.
They did.
It's
yeah.
like the perspective and right. all that. So the furniture is really trippy and all that.
Right.
But it's all gone. So I'm like, I'm not going to go.
I want to see that. Yeah. I don't want to see a hole in the wall. Like,
yeah, like a fake Hobbit house. No.
Well, now I got to reconsider my entire trip.
I'm not sure. I haven't been, but it might be really good.
Okay.
You should go.
All right. All right. Okay. So we have some questions for you regarding Thailand and New Zealand because I feel like, you know, when you're a person that's grown up in two different cultures, you always have one thing that you prefer or you miss over another.
Okay.
Right. So just to start it off, what is something you miss in New Zealand? Wait, when you're in New Zealand, what is something you miss about Thailand? When you're in Thailand, what is something you miss about New Zealand?
Oh, I think weather is number one. When I'm in New Zealand, I really miss the humidity. Just the heat of everything.
Right.
And when I'm in New Zealand, I mean, when I'm in Thailand, I miss the cold.
Of New Zealand.
Yeah.
So you can't make up your mind.
I actually enjoy a bit of both.
Right.
You can't have both in
I guess
the country.
But Thailand's hot all the time.
It's hot all the time.
Right.
In New Zealand, it's basically a bit cold all the time as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very close to the South Pole.
I didn't know that. So, you miss the weather both places.
Yeah.
Now, this is really going to test your decision making and your loyalty.
Okay.
All right. So, born in Thailand, raised in New Zealand, we're giving you Thai versus Kiwi food test and you have to choose between the two. Are you a big foodie?
I'm not a big foodie.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a knowledgeable guy.
What's if you have a favorite, your last meal on earth?
Yeah,
what is it gonna be?
Probably something Japanese. Sorry,
whoa,
honest. I'm being very honest.
Fair enough.
Yeah, neither country's cuisine.
Okay, yeah. All right. Producer looks very confused right now. It's all good. Here we go. Ready, Tom Yam Goong, which
Thai.
Is Thai.
Yeah.
Tom Yam Goong, which is like a How do you describe that in English?
It's like a spicy soup with like a coconut.
Shrimp. Tangy.
Coconut milk based.
Yeah.
Tangy sort of shrimp soup.
That or fish and chips?
This is so hard. Tom Yam Goong for me.
Okay. Tom Yam Goong.
Yeah.
Pad Siew or Kiwi Burgers?
Kiwi Burgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yellow curry or mince and cheese pies?
Mince and cheese pies.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how to pronounce this, but in English it's called crying tiger. Sui rong hai.
Sui rong hai.
Yeah. Sui rong hai or roasted lamb.
Oh, sui rong hai for sure.
Sui rong hai?
It's grilled beef, but done in like a northeastern style. And you have it with the spicy sauce.
Is it like skewers?
No. It's just like it's like sliced and you have it with sticky rice.
Oh.
But it's always got a little bit of fat on it.
Oh.
Yeah, I picked that over roasted lamb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thai roti or pavlova?
Oh, pavlova.
What is pavlova?
It's I don't think it's like a very New Zealand thing. Like it came from England or something.
Uh-huh.
But it's on this meringue cake.
Oh, okay.
Basically, with lots of fruits on top. Yeah.
All right. What is this? Mango sticky rice?
Yeah.
Or hokey pokey ice cream?
Mango sticky rice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love mango sticky rice.
You know what it is, right? Yeah.
I love it. But what is hokey pokey ice cream?
Hokey pokey ice cream is vanilla ice cream with like little balls of caramel.
Oh.
Inside. Basically.
Yo, mango sticky rice all the way.
Yeah, like.
Come on.
Nothing can beat that.
Yeah, mango sticky rice. If you don't know what mango sticky rice is, you're missing out on life.
You got to try it.
It's really good. Oh, man. All right. So Thai tea or LMP?
LMP is like lemon
Peril.
It's like the city where that soda was created. Thai tea.
Thai tea.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, that's good. You have like… I'd say you're like 50-50 between…
I'm 50-50, yeah.
Between your New Zealand and your Thai.
Yeah.
That's…
That's good. You guys found some really like exclusively Kiwi things. Like LMP. If you're not from New Zealand, you wouldn't like really know it's like a Kiwi drink.
Well, yeah. I'm sitting here reading this and our producers are writing. And I was like, I have no clue what this stuff is. Let's see. I guess like before we kind of wrap stuff up, two things.
Sure.
First of all, if for a lot of people who are listening, they may have never been to Bangkok. Mm. If you could give them like… three things you have to do, see or eat in Thailand, in Bangkok. What would they be?
To see?
Or eat or do. Whatever. It could be anything.
Definitely check out the weekend market called Chatuchak or JJ Market. It's really close to my house. And it's just a lot of fun. Mm. There you find lots of street food and shopping. Mm-hmm. If you like that kind of stuff, it's always a good time. Mm-hmm. You should go see the Jerengrung district of Thailand. It's kind of like Old Town. But it's very artsy. Full of galleries and there's usually an exhibition on.
Okay.
That's a really fun place to go. And then go see a temple. Like any temple.
Oh.
To get in touch with your inner peace or whatever.
Are you religious at all or spiritual?
I would say I'm slightly religious.
Okay.
Yep.
And what is your faith if you don't let me ask?
I'm Buddhist.
Buddhist. Okay. That's interesting. No, I feel like… religion is such like a weird topic to me because I feel like people should be able to talk about it however they want. But people are always nervous because they feel like they're going to offend people.
I'm not afraid.
Right. Say, yeah. I mean, I'm just like, okay, cool. Do your thing. Respect your religion, your spirituality. Yeah, that's cool. But I know Thailand is such a…
very Buddhist country.
It's very Buddhist. It's very spiritual. Yeah, and
superstitious, I would say.
Like, yeah?
Very weird. Sort of like, oh, don't do this.
What's like some of the weirdest stuff?
Don't get a haircut on a Wednesday. Something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. Like… right? That's true, right? People don't get haircuts on Wednesdays.
Wait, so they just shut down?
Yeah. Most places would be like, no, we're not open today. Unless you go to a mall. And then they'll still like, oh, you shouldn't have come today.
You shouldn't have come. Like, I might stab you with my scissors.
Yeah, I'm like, but I'm paying you, you know? Like, please cut my hair, please.
That's so funny.
That's an odd one for me, even.
Anything else?
What's another funny one? Oh yeah, like don't open your umbrella inside. But that's also… that's universal.
Like a universal thing. It's a bad luck. But the haircut on a Wednesday, I've never heard that. Is there anything like that here? Mm. Don't do anything in Busan on Wednesdays. Not allowed.
Cursed. You know, you'll be cursed if you do anything on that day. Yeah, strange. Oh, yeah.
No, had no clue. Yeah. If you could collaborate with anybody, who would it be?
I have a whole…
you have like a full list?
Very long list. Right now, I said this before, the whitest boy alive. They are I think they were formed in Germany.
Uh-huh.
But you know Kings of Convenience?
Yes.
The band, Erland Oya, one of the guys, he made The Whitest Boy Alive.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of that project.
Okay,
so
okay.
Either them or Mac DeMarco.
Okay.
Yeah, I say his name on every interview and everything.
Have you shouted him out yet? Or like tried to reach out to him?
I snuck into his show in Bangkok when he came. Because I know the promoters. So I was like, can I please go see him? And they're like, oh, he's a bit tired. But I'm like, please, can I go say hi? Uh-huh. So they let me in. And then I stayed there for way too long. I talked to every guy in the band. And then like I gave him a hug and he was really tired. I'm like, it's such a huge inspiration to me, man. And then I made him sign this demo tape from Japan. And I got it. He's like, oh, you're a real fan. You have this demo tape. And I was like, yeah, of course.
Oh,
and
man.
Then I took a photo with him. Yeah. And then
that's
hopefully
so cool.
One day he'll know that I talk about him all the time.
I'm sure he will. I had a moment like that where I went to see Billie Eilish about a year and a half ago. In Seoul.
In Seoul, yeah.
And I wanted to go say hi. Like, I think… because I'm repped by like… we have like mutual people.
Yeah.
So I go. And she's like 15 at the time.
So young.
But I was so intimidated by this 15-year-old girl that I couldn't say anything to her. Like, I literally was like in her green room.
Yeah.
And she like looked at me and I was like… I just like held my hand up and she's like, hey. And I was like, oh my God, you're so cool. Yeah, and you're 15. And then I like actually talked to her brother, Phineas.
Yeah.
But like, I just remember being like, I just think you're really cool. I'm just slightly scared of you.
Yeah.
In the way that I respect you so much for what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've had a few of those moments, you went beyond, you gave him the hug.
I gave him a hug. Yeah, probably a bit too much at that time.
You know what?
You know, he was like, who's this kid? Why is he hugging me? You know what?
Bro, if you're in fanboy mode, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to hold
back. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, when am I going to meet him backstage again? You never know. I can relate to that though. Like, you have so much to think about what you want to say. Like, I love the song, the way you did this. But when you meet them, it's just kind of like, okay, you know?
Right. There are a few moments, like, I have fan, like, I'm sure you have like fan signings or fan meetings. Yeah, and when you're, and they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, yo, just chill out. Like, it's good. It's fine. And then I talk about this. I'm like, wait, I do the same thing, don't I?
Exactly. Yeah,
where I just have like a full on freak out. I guess, what do you want? Where do you want this to go? Like, your career, your music? Do you have like an end goal or like a dream? Anything like that?
I don't think I have an end goal for this. I mean, like, I choose to just enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Because the music industry is very unpredictable.
It is.
Even like streaming or, you know, CD releases or single releases, you never know how people will react to it or if the listening numbers will be the same. So I choose to just write what's relevant to me. And yeah, I guess my only hope for this is I get to travel more, go to places I've never been to, and I go to really good catering zones at shows. That's like the dream.
I'm going to tattoo that somewhere, like Summer Sonic catering.
Yeah, you have to get there one day. It's amazing. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Where's somewhere that you want to play that you have not had the chance yet?
South America would be really fun. I've never been there, but I know there's quite a few listeners there.
Uh-huh.
Mexico or like…
Ooh, Mexico's so cool.
Yeah, you've been, right?
I did a show there last year.
Yeah.
And the fans there are just so amazing.
Yeah.
They are so loud. And I'm on stage and you're looking off stage.
Yeah.
And you know, like in the ocean, like on National Geographic, there's schools of fishes that are like swimming around and just like this. It looked like fish. And it kind of freaked me out. It was… I had like an OCD moment. I was like, oh, what's going on? Like everything's swarming. Like, but it was a wild show. Super
That's
fun.
That's awesome.
But I'm sure you'll be there.
I hope so one day.
Very soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, so what do you have coming up? Where can people find you on socials or any more new music or things for people to look forward to?
This will be my show tomorrow in Korea, in Seoul. In Korea, will be my last international show of this year.
Of 2019.
Then I'm taking a bit of time off. But right now, I just released my latest EP. It's out on streaming platforms.
Right.
Anywhere called Bangkok Balta Club. Give that a listen. And yeah, hopefully a new, bigger, more full collection of works will be out sometime next year and more travel plans. So look out for that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Was that really fast?
No.
We're good, right? I'm just like, this is such an easy conversation that I'm just like, are we allowed to end this? Anything else that we should talk about? Anything you want to talk about? Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
You believe in ghosts? Have you ever seen a ghost?
I've never seen one, but I've had… I think you have it in your culture too. You know, the night hag?
Yeah.
The night hag?
Yeah.
You know what the night hag is? Or like, in Thailand we call it piam. Or when like a ghost has pulled a prank on you.
What?
You don't… It's in every culture. Like…
Wait, what do you mean pulled a prank on you?
Like though? Like when you have sleep paralysis. But you, but you feel like someone is lying on top
that.
Of you.
I've had that.
But my experience was I was at my college dorm about 2-3 years ago. I was asleep and I felt conscious at around 4 a.m. And then I suddenly felt like some shadow moving in my room.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like… I didn't open my eyes, but I feel like I could sense what was around me. And then I felt someone crawl up in my body and like… Suddenly it was like… It felt like a person was on top of me.
Yeah. Sure that wasn't a burglar?
I don't know.
Just stealing all your music?
I'm not too sure actually. Because I didn't open my eyes. But it didn't feel like that.
No, but I've had sleep paralysis multiple times. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like the first few times you get it, you're like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
It's terrifying. And then there was one time where like I saw like… what I imagined were ghosts or like demons. And I was just like, get away! And the other times where I like open my eyes and I'm paralyzed. But then at a certain point, like, oh, this is sleep paralysis. Just go to bed and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just like break out of it.
Yeah.
But that first one with like whatever ghosts or demons or what, that freaked the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to end it on that note.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to think about demons and ghosts.
Yeah.
But Poom, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad to have finally met you as a fan of your music.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully our paths will cross again soon.
It will. Summer Sonic.
Yes.
Sushi stand.
I'm going to call you from there and just FaceTime you. Look at all the sushi. Please check out Poom's music on whatever streaming platforms you use. And please be sure to, of course, please subscribe and rate and review our podcast on whatever platform you guys are listening from. This is I Think You're Dope with Eric Nam. And today's guest was Poom. Thanks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.